What's up, guys? It's Coach D. We are back finally with another episode of the Dot Whisperer podcast. A lot has happened since my last episode. We have relocated. We're now in the Huntsville area, so things are really starting to move in a positive direction up here. But I wanted to get back on the podcast. A lot of my followers have been asking about different topics and things of that nature. So I want to touch on a few topics this week on the podcast. So I hope you guys are ready. I've missed you all. Let's get into it. Okay, so the latest message that I got maybe about a week and a half ago from an athlete, they asked me, what do I see when I see a successful athlete? I've worked with so many athletes, and so the question really turned on, how did I know who I thought would make it to that next level and who I kind of thought maybe wouldn't? And that question really made me start to think about the qualities and the common characteristics that, you know, we see in athletes. Because you think about it, they all have something in common. They all really possess, or they have kind of the same mindset, same kind of mental focus and determination and strength as far as their mind and their ability to put in that work to get to the next level. So that's really a common thread that all successful athletes have. So to break that down a little bit further, we can break it down into five different characteristics that I think that you would see commonly in successful athletes. So if you're looking at getting to that next level, whichever level your next level would be. So if you're a junior high kid wanting to make the varsity team next year, if you want to go into your freshman year already on varsity, if you're a high school kid wanting to play college ball, if you're a college kid wanting to play overseas or play in the NBA or play in the NFL or the major leagues or whatever your next level is, I think these characteristics will kind of help you get there as far as mentally. So the first thing we're going to jump on, of course, is the most obvious, would be persistence. You know, those athletes that make it to the next level, they have persistence. They're not taking these days off, especially not in sports like football and basketball. They're not taking days off. They're not taking weeks off. They are grinding every single day to get to their next level. Because you have to understand, like, everything is about your next level. And when you're competing as far as recruitment is concerned, when you're in high school, your competition isn't just the kids that you see sitting next to you. They're not just the kids that you may play against in your area. You know, if you're class of 2020, your competition is the entire class of guards or forwards or centers or whichever position you're dominant in. That's your competition. Those are the kids that are going out for these scholarships along with you. So persistence, meaning you're practicing every day, you're studying your game every day, you're doing things like stretching, you're doing those extra workouts. If you're a basketball player, you're doing mandatory workouts, and then you're getting up and doing extra workouts, you're shooting, you're dribbling, you're doing all these things that maybe your coach isn't telling you to do, but you know that is necessary for your position. So you're doing these things every single day. You know, football players, y'all are out wide receivers running routes and doing different things on days that, you know, you necessarily don't have to. On a Sunday when you're just getting up, you know, barely got the crust out of your eye, you eat breakfast, do whatever, you know, you go and get a couple shots up, you go and get a couple routes in, you do those things persistently, and it's going to help your body. It's going to help you be able to be ready for those big game moments. You're going to be able to be prepared for all those moments and situations where you can impress the college scouts and you can impress the NBA scouts and the NFL scouts and all these things. So persistence, first and foremost, is going to be key. You know, there are no days off when it comes to being successful. There's no days off when it comes to being the best you can be. And there's no days off when it comes to being the best in your sport. You cannot be better than someone that you don't work harder than. You cannot. You cannot be better than someone that you do not work harder than. You have to do the work. And you have to be persistent doing it. All right? Be right back. All right, so we talked about persistence. So number two, we're going to talk about something I like to call positive realism. Okay, we hear all the time, you know, we set goals, we have dreams. And a lot of times we're unfair to ourselves because we either set something up that is just unrealistic or we set our standards and our expectations way too low because we think that's how we have to be real. I want to talk about something I like to call positive realism, meaning you're being real with yourself, meaning you're letting yourself, you're giving an honest evaluation of yourself, where you're at and where you're trying to get to and how you can take the steps to get there. But you're being positive about it, meaning you're weighing on those strengths that you have and why you would be a benefit to a certain program, why you would be a benefit to a certain coach or a certain system of play. You know, you want to be completely positive with your strengths. So you want to take those strengths and you want to be able to evaluate yourself against someone else. So I'm going to use Keyshawn as a reference point for this. Keyshawn's going into his senior year now. He's going to be at Bob Jones High School. And one thing that Keyshawn has that he's going to set himself apart with is going to be on the defensive side of the ball. Okay, defensively, he's really the most aggressive on-ball defender that this area is really going to see. But the thing about that is we can't rely on the fact that he's already a great defender. We now have to strengthen that strength. All right, so it's that iron sharpening iron type of mentality and thinking to itself. So Keyshawn knows I'm a great defender, so I know that when I get to the collegiate level, I'm going to be on the ball. I'm going to do things that this program probably hasn't seen or this program has seen in its past, and they're looking for another guard to come in and do the same thing. So that positive realism is saying that, you know what, I know that my defense is going to be my strength. That's going to be my strongest thing. So I'm going to keep sharpening that, and I'm going to keep making sure that that stands out. So on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to keep on putting that pressure on, keep getting those turnovers, keep getting those easy turnover points. And that's what's going to stand out to these college coaches. That's real for him. He knows that that's what he can do. He's not putting everything else down. He's not saying, well, I suck at shooting, I suck at this, I suck at that, I suck at this, so all I can do is play defense. Not at all. He just knows that, you know what, defense is my strength. That's what's already tier. That's already expert. You know, that's up there at the top. You know, people are going to look at that and say, my guy. So now while I'm working and building on other areas of my game, I know that defensively, that's my positive realism. That's my go-to. That's my notch. That's my set apart. That's my separation device. You know, that's everything that I have as far as already putting myself in a different zone, in a different area of the game than everybody else. So for you guys and girls, you know, you have to look and see what part of your game is going to be that separation point. If you don't have that yet, it's time to really start putting in work. It's really time to start putting in work. If you don't have an area of your game that you know for a fact that no matter who you step on the court with, you're going to stand out. You're going to stand out. You're going to not always win, not always get the best of the person in front of you, but you're going to still stand out. You're going to step on the court, in Keyshawn's instance, you're going to step on the court with a Sharif Cooper, and he may give you 15. He may give you 20. But he's going to then look up and say, you know what, that was the hardest 15 points I have ever had to get. And matter of fact, they really only came when I got screened and Keyshawn wasn't on me no more. You know, it's going to be something like that. You want to make sure that no matter what obstacles you face in your game, that strength is what's going to stand out. That's going to be your positive realism. That's going to be the area of your game that you want to say, you know what, this is it. This is what puts me in your program. This is why I belong in your program. This is why I'm working so hard to get into your program. This is why you need me. All right, so number three, humility. All right, you have to be humble. All right, successful players, they may step on their playing field or the playing court. They may have this cockiness about them. They may say, you know what? I know I'm the best player on this court. All right, no. I'm going to get out here. I'm going to show y'all something. But understand something. Humility means that you know that you're not the most important player in that gym, on that field, in that stadium, wherever you're at, you're not the most important. You're not the only one there. So you may have that mindset that nobody can guard me, nobody can beat me, but understand that everybody on that field, everybody on that court plays a part in the success or the failure of that program. All right? So you can't step out anywhere at any point in time thinking like you're the most important thing walking. That's the attitude that's going to instantly send you to failure, because you're not going to have anyone that wants to work with you. You're not going to have coaches wanting to work with you. You're not going to have people wanting you in their program. You're not going to have teammates wanting to be around you. You want to make sure that your teammates know that you're a team player, that your coaches know that you're a team player. Even if you're the go-to guy, even if you're the person that the ball needs to hit their hands before any shots go up, if that's how your program looks at you, that is great. But understand that still does not make you the most important person in that program. Humility would mean that you still know that you're just a piece of the puzzle that makes this thing all go together. Okay? You have to have that mindset. You have to know, hey, when it all said and done, we all gonna go to sleep, we're all gonna wake back up. All right? We're all gonna do this thing together. We're all gonna step on this court. I can't step out here by myself. All right? That whistle's not gonna blow if I'm the only football player out here at kickoff time. All right? That whistle's not gonna blow if I'm the only basketball player out here when it's time to tip off. So I'm not the most important thing in this equation. I'm just a piece of it. And I have to know that in order to be humbled. And when you're humbled, it makes you even hungrier, because now you want to succeed not just for yourself, but now you're succeeding and you're doing stuff and you're going hard and you're pushing your teammates. You're doing it for the sake of the entire organization, the entire program. You want everyone to eat. It just so happens you may be the one cooking the main course of that meal. All right? That may be it. You may cook the protein and everybody else just makes the sides, but you still want those sides. Understand that, all right? You still have to make sure everyone knows they are all equally as part of every single program that you're a part of. You want to be the glue that holds it together, possibly, but understand the glue can be replaced by some tape or anything. You know what I'm saying? You get that? All right? So humble yourself. Humility is going to be very important. It's that middle piece, all right? It's number 3 out of 5. So it's that middle piece that's going to make everything just kind of come together. You being humble, you being able to be coached, you being able to be a team member, people liking to be around you. They may not always like to be around you. They may know that you're going to challenge them harder than they've been challenged before. You're going to push them harder than they've been pushed before. But that's a different type of dislike. That's a guy, dog, why is he at practice today? I just wanted to take it easy today, but I'm going to go hard though. So that's what humility is, man. It's being able to know where you fit in the larger scheme of things, knowing that there's always a bigger picture and that you play a part in making the picture what it is, but you're not the only piece of that picture. You're not the only thing that people are going to see. You're not the only thing that's needed, all right? So humble yourself and continue to grind. All right, so number 4 is going to be vulnerability. All right, so the definition of vulnerability is the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. Now, as an athlete, anytime you step on your playing field, of course, you're going to be exposed to a certain amount of pressure, amount of criticism. But outside of that playing field, understand something. When you're going to be an elite athlete, all right? So the question is, in a successful athlete, how do you become successful? Part of that journey means that you're leaving people behind. You're not spending as much time with certain people. You're doing things that other people aren't doing. So you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked emotionally mainly. It's going to be your friends, the ones you've grown up with, the ones you've been around the longest, the ones you spend all your time with, you know, the ones that are always available. They seem to always be available when you want to do absolutely nothing, correct? So those friends are going to be the ones that criticize you. They're going to send you those text messages like, man, you tripping. You bugging. Why can't you go? You need, man, you practiced yesterday or you practiced this morning. Why you got to practice twice? You did this. Why you got to do that? Those are going to be those people. It's going to be. It's not going to be the strangers. It's going to be the people in your circle that have the most problem with what you're doing. All right? That's why the whole notion of birds of a feather flock together. The whole notion of surround yourself with positive people. The whole notion of hang with people that are going the same direction as you. That doesn't always mean a basketball player has to hang with another basketball player. It just means that if you know that your circle of friends is either A, already set in their ways, already sure about what they're trying to do, and it has nothing to do with helping you succeed and helping you get to your next level, that does not need to be your primary circle of friends anymore. Meaning, you don't have to cut them off completely. Meaning, it doesn't mean you can't text them and talk to them every now and then, but it means that that can't be your primary circle. That can't be the circle you go to every single day, because that's going to decrease the amount of work you're able to do in your own field. And with that comes that need to be vulnerable, because you're going to be attacked. So what does vulnerability do for you? It keeps those walls from being up. It keeps you from being just completely distracted and focused on what they're saying. It allows you to take what they're saying, understand why you're getting it, and act accordingly. It allows you to use that as the fuel that you need to keep pushing yourself. So instead of getting mad and saying, you know what, I'm coming, man, I'm gonna hang with you. No, you say, you know what, dude, I hear you. And I'm gonna hit you up when I'm free. And if you don't want to hang then hey, we cool. But at the end of the day, I have to do what's best for me. That's where you have to be at. To be successful, you have to be able to be alone. All right? There are going to be times you may not have people around you that are ready to work. Or you may not have people that are working on what you're working on, or have the ability to get to where you are or go where you're going. So you have to be okay with being alone. Sometimes you just have to be by yourself. Work on your craft. Study your game. You know, if you're a football player, watching other receivers do routes or corners do, you know, defensive coverages and different things like that, you have to be able to sit by yourself, tune into what you need to lock into, and do it. That's where success comes from. Vulnerability is as much a part of your success as everything else that I've named. You have to be aware of what's going on. You have to be aware that it's coming, because it's going to come. All right, so your freshman and sophomore year, understand that this is where you have to start separating yourself from those friends you had in 6th grade and 7th grade and 8th grade that aren't going the same direction as you. This is where you have to do that, because in 10th grade, even 9th grade, if you have dreams of going to the NBA or the NFL or playing overseas or doing whatever it is, you have those ambitions, that's where it starts. It doesn't start your senior year. It doesn't start your junior year. It starts your freshman year of high school, you preparing yourself mentally, preparing yourself emotionally to start preparing yourself physically. All right, the physical part of it is third. All right, that emotional and that mental game that you have to prepare yourself for is next to none. You have to be ready for that. So vulnerability, that's number four. You have to have that part locked in. You have to know what's coming. You have to be prepared to take it and keep moving. And the last one, number five, is actually my favorite. It took me the longest, actually, to get this type of mindset and to be really confident in it. So I think that's probably why it's my favorite, because it took me the longest to, like, really work towards this and get to a point where I could really say I live by it. And that is to have a lack of regret, all right? So you'll hear coaches, you hear trainers, even, you know, some famous players and athletes that will say, you know, once you lose a game, you forget that game. Once you win a game, you have to forget that game. You have to forget the game you just had, forget the practice you just had, and move on to the next one. That's that lack of regret, lack of beating yourself up for a bad game, lack of, you know, you had a bad practice, you know, you wasn't making your times, you wasn't making your shots, you know, you didn't max out where you thought you were going to max out, you know, just things didn't go your way. You have to forget about it. You have to have that lack of regret. You can't go into your next practice or into your next game with regrets of what you did previously. Okay? That mental state of being able to forget is huge in the arena of being successful. Because I promise you, I have forgotten more than I remember in my lifetime. I've had to forget people. things people have said. I've had to forget bad decisions that I've made. I've had to go on and not allow myself to live in the regret of the choices or the regret of having a bad experience or the regret of having a bad whatever test. You know, when I went into my scouting program, you know, the first time I didn't score as high as I wanted to, I went back and took it even though I passed the first time. You know, you can't live with the regret of knowing what you did. You can't regret that. You know, you can't keep beating yourself up about it. Either do something to change it or work towards getting better at whatever you messed up on. So as an athlete, the biggest place where we have the regrets are usually in game situations. You know, maybe we missed the game-winning shot. We didn't take the game-winning shot. We missed a catch. We missed a fly, you know, a fly ball. A pitcher that got too many home runs hit off of him in the game. It's so many different things. Quarterbacks throwing interceptions. All these things are able to be regretted upon. Like, you can go into that next game still thinking about what you did the last one very easily. But the lack of regret means that once that interception is thrown, that very next play, that very next possession, rather, on the field, you have to be ready to go back out there. You have to be ready to attack all over again. That has to have not happened. Even if they score off the interception, that's 7 points, okay? We have to get back, all right? So instead of now being tied, now we're down by 7, let's get back. Let's get it back tied. That has to be the mindset. You have to be ready to encourage your teammates. You have to be ready to encourage yourself. All right, you have to always be ready to forget. All right, you cannot have regrets. All right, so number 5 is simple, just lack of regrets. Do not go into tomorrow regretting the things that happened to you today. So I really hope, you know, that was able to answer that question for that athlete, as well as, you know, the parents and other athletes that definitely have that same type of either question or kind of have that mindset of, you know, wanting to get to that next level, you know, and have true success, you know, in their sport, you know, whether it be playing the sport or maybe going into coaching the sport, or however you want to see success for yourself. You know, I think that those 5 areas are going to be the areas that you have to lock in on and be able to really understand. So that persistence, that positive realism, the humility, the vulnerability, and then of course the lack of regrets, you know, forgetting those mistakes, forgetting those bad games, bad experiences. Those 5 things are going to be the beginning, the foundation of how you're going to start yourself down that journey of going further into your sport. So guys, thank you again for listening to me. The Dog Whisperer Podcast, of course, we'll have new episodes up every single week now. We are back. Check out, we have merchandise on www.dogmentality.org. Of course, that's Dog, DAWG, Dreamers Amplified with Grind. Everything we do is going to be on that website. We have so many different links now coming on there. I have branding opportunities coming for athletes that are going to be on there. You get to follow the journeys of these kids that are on this Vertimax training schedule now. I am now coaching the AAU team that will be hitting the Adidas Gauntlet Series on next year, 2021. So March of next year, we'll be heading out. We'll also be going to USBA Nationals with Fila. So a lot of different things that are happening since I've touched down in Huntsville. But definitely visit that website, www.dogmentality.org, and you can keep up with everything that's going on. Follow me on Instagram, the THA Dog Whisperer, and you can also follow everything that's going on there. And if you have any questions, always hit me up. Thanks for listening.